The end of the Kathleen Kennedy era of Star Wars could be on the way. And now even the mainstream is admitting it. Paul Tassi, a sometimes not so big fan of this channel, is declaring what we said just a few weeks ago. It could be that the Mandalorian-Ahsoka crossover movie? Well, it's over. And so could be so much of what Kathleen put into place, maybe even the sequel trilogy. It's a great day. It's a groovy day. Bright suns, everyone. That's what they say over at Galaxy's Edge, although I don't know if anybody even does that anymore. And soon, we may say, sequel trilogy, what's that? Mandoverse? Huh? That's old hat. Because Disney, well, they're desperate to get rid of whatever it is that's costing them money, and Star Wars is doing just that. Let's dive into a conversation with Critical Drinker about the fact that now even the mainstream access media agreeing with us. Click the like button. We'll tell you what the fuss is about. All right, folks, we got some molten salt for you right here for the Star Wars sequel trilogy fans and maybe the Mendoverse lovers too. Cosmic Marvel reporting this one. It says a big crossover film between The Mandalorian and Ahsoka has reportedly been scrapped. Now, there are people out there who say this is not true. At AidenWI56023, a name I'm sure will be trademarked soon, it says, exaggerated headline. It was put on the back burner, which has been known publicly for a while. It has not been scrapped, as the headline leads you to believe. But this is going back to the Forbes article that we've been discussing. It came out yesterday. Ahsoka Season 1 and 2's revealed release date gap is totally absurd. Paul Tassi is unhappy, as he tends to be, but is unhappy this time because Ahsoka has been delayed. And by the way, that probably means that those executives who stopped by Lucasfilm, Josh D'Amaro, Dana Walden, Alan Bergman, all the top brass of Disney, well, something has crashed the party, and now reshoots likely on the way. Lauren, I want to go to you first on this story. You've read the article here on Forbes. What have you found out? Is it true that the Mandoverse Thrawn Ender, the story that's supposed to, you know, wrap this thing up, is that on ice now, or is that still planned?
Well, we don't know that it's true, but I think there's a lot of things that are up in the air right now. One of the reports that he's citing is from The Hollywood Reporter in January, and in that same article, they were talking about their confidence that the Simon Kinberg series was still going to be happening. So I think some of the sourcing material you can treat with a grain of salt. On the other hand, there's been so much turmoil that's been going on with what they're doing with Star Wars behind the scenes. I think the numbers that they're seeing for The Mandalorian and Grogu have told them everything that they need to know about whether they can carry this forward. We know that Ahsoka Season 2 was already in the can. If they're delaying it, it's got to be for something that is either we're making some major plot changes, there's some visual effects problems that they have to address, or something like that. Based on the fact that Disney leadership explicitly went to Lucasfilm to meet with those people, and Alan Bergman was involved, my guess is they're saying, we're making a hard pivot. We no longer have to wait for more data to come in.
Now, the data that they're seeing is likely the same data we're seeing, and it may be worse for them. We have our suspicions that it's worse. ComingSoon.net, hosted by Yahoo Entertainment, says The Mandalorian Grogu box office is tracking like Solo, but there's one big difference, and they go on to defend it and say it's got a longer runway. I'm going to say there's some differences, though, that they don't like to pay attention to. One, we're comparing a three-day to a four-day. Two, we're not taking in the matter of inflation. Movie tickets today are much higher than when Solo came out. So, Drinker, we're looking at far less tickets being sold. And yeah. Solo essentially like put Lucasfilm into hibernation. So to come back after 7 years with a Jon Favreau film, and this was the number one show that put Disney Plus on the map. I mean, it made Disney Plus survive before Bluey came in and did something. For this to be performing this way, I wonder if the financials now are prohibitive to the point that they actually can't keep making this stuff the way they have been.
I think they're going to keep a very close eye on the box office performance of this movie, and that's going to determine the future course of all of these crossover films like the Ahsoka movie, another Mando movie. They are 100% going to put them on hold until they know if this is even viable, because if it's not, there's no point in doing it. Yeah, you're completely right. On a purely financial level, on a business level, The Mandalorian is the only thing they've produced outside of, you know, mining the legacy characters that's actually been somewhat successful in its first two seasons. It crashed and burned in its third season, but it's all they have left. It's like the best of a bad bunch. And so I guess it made some kind of sense to like try their hand with a movie like this and see if maybe it's going to work. If it doesn't, which it seems like it's not going to, I have no idea where Star Wars goes from here. You know, Last Starfighter might be successful relatively, but it's its own thing. You know, it's not really tied into like a larger universe. It doesn't really have a huge amount of potential for like spawning a, you know, a trilogy or like an expanded universe from that. It's just one movie. And so it kind of rests on this. If this movie can't succeed, their one point of optimism, their one successful IP somewhat from the Disney Plus shows is proven that it's not viable anymore. And so they're kind of screwed. I don't know what they would do after this.
Yeah, and to see just how badly they are screwed, if we go to the report from coming soon. Okay, so predicted to bring in $86.5 million on a four-day weekend, right? The biggest weekend of the year so far, $86.5 million. Now, that means that this is barely making more than $20 million per day on the four-day. And the problem is that according to Sean Robbins, when he's looking at it, a box office report, what we've got is a situation where this film is predicted to only have 2.25 legs now. So when we're paying attention to what's being canceled or what, you know, the idea that there's not going to be an Ahsoka Mando movie and they're wrapping up Ahsoka season two and then they're done and they're moving on, you know, excuse me, box office theory for Sean Robbins. The problem is if it comes out to 86.5 and it does a one-to-one as Star Wars films tend to do with the international and the domestic, then we're looking at 150, 160, right? 150, 160 on the worldwide opening. You apply a 2.25 leg out for that at the box office, you're not hitting 500 million. You're not coming close.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much to look at this and say, even if it's the most frugal Star Wars film ever made, this thing needs $600, $700 million to break even. I mean, the marketing has been intense. So I think you're right, Drinker. I think that Disney has to look at this and say, this no longer makes any sense to pursue this in the way we've been doing. And I don't think that Disney suddenly is going to do a mea culpa. I don't think they're going to come in and say, well, that sequel trilogy, man, it just sucked. We admit it now. They're just going to quietly, completely pivot because they can't do this anymore. The piggy bank has run dry.
Yeah.
Joe, what's your thoughts on this one?
This is a movie that is, so the cope is out there. They're saying, oh, well, it's a lower budget than Solo and it's not like Solo. And they've got their own little assigned reasons why they don't think that Solo was successful. They blame it on the poor guy, Alden Ehrenreich, who I don't think he did a bad job. And I think at this point, with Kathleen Kennedy leaving and Dave Filoni really needing to prove himself, if this film doesn't succeed, his best move will be to come in and make huge changes and pretend like it was never his fault, everything that's happened up until this point. So if anyone from Lucasfilm is paying attention, you've got this great moment to throw everything else under the bus here. So it's in your best interest to do reset, reboot, big change, or at least to message it, because come on.
It's so difficult, though, to build that fan enthusiasm back up again when your IP is tanked like this. You know, Marvel's facing a similar situation, but it's not quite as bad. There's still some residual enthusiasm for things like Doomsday and stuff. But Star Wars, man, like it has been so long since a movie's come out. We're talking like 7 years at this point. And the fan enthusiasm is just gone. Like, and it's so difficult to build that back up. We talked about this on Open Bar before, and the prevailing theory from us is you would need at least two, maybe even three really great movies to get Star Wars back to where it was before all of this. And I just don't think Disney's even capable of producing that at this point.
I forget at this point, is there anything after Starfighter on the horizon now that actually seems viable?
No.
Movie-wise, no.
Because if you follow the trajectory, they're still saying that Taika Waititi is making a movie.
Sure.
Ray is still getting a movie, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Where's Ryan Johnson's trilogy?
And then Taika Waititi just said that he's going to be working with Angel Studios next. So, you know, we'll talk about Angel Studios another time, but that doesn't exactly seem like going from what is supposed to be the biggest franchise in American movie history down to, I don't know, something original for Angel Studios. That's not exactly an upward climb.
Well, guys, let me give you something to bounce the continued conversation, because this is the end of Paul Tassi's article. And I find this fascinating that for so long, the legacy media defended Star Wars. I mean, to their own detriment, you had shills doing whatever it took to pretend that Raylos are real. To the, you know, they lost influence. They lost power. They're no longer relevant. But they wanted to make sure that Disney would give them the exclusives on the hope and the dream that Star Wars would come back, baby. Here's how they're ending it now. Because Paul Tassi, everybody here on the panel knows, even if you as a viewer might not know his name, this guy is like, there is nobody more inclined than Paul Tassi to defend Disney and step in to save the current state of Star Wars. And yet, here's the end of it. Well, maybe Scotty, but Scotty Mendelson, we'll leave you alone for right now. Still, it says, a 3.5 to 4 year wait for a new season of Ahsoka is laughable. Though larger questions now must be raised about the future of Disney Plus Star Wars content at all, as nearly every show has now ended short of very few exceptions. Maul, is Disney just turning back to films almost exclusively? We may be walking that path. In other words, the narrative and the legacy access media, and now even at places like Forbes, is shifting. They're not defending anymore. They're acknowledging we have a problem. And that's, I think we're in a different era now. I think everybody has accepted Star Wars is broken.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it may not be fixable because, as I was saying earlier, what do they have left? You know, Mando is like their Superman, you know, at this point. And if that can't turn a profit, if that can't work, then what chance do any of these other characters have? Like, who cares about Ahsoka? You know, when we get to this point where Ahsoka season 2 comes out, I have legit forgotten what even happened in season 1. That show was so bland and completely so boring, pointless and forgettable. No one's going to care when it comes back, but it costs a ton of money to make.
On that point, we were talking about Ahsoka season 1 on our back channels earlier this week, and Jonas was saying, you know, I don't think that Baylan Skull was actually an evil character. And I mentioned to him, did you forget that he slaughtered an entire crew of New Republic?
I legitimately did forget, because he's actually kind of cool. He's more charming than the rest of the cast because he's got a little smile. He's quiet. He's even tempered. So him and Shin Hati, whatever I think is the name of the female dark Jedi.
I love the name Shin Hati. I'll go with that. I don't care if it's real or not.
Right, right. Anyways, they act normal as if they're just mercenaries from that point on. So there's really no good or bad. The fight scenes are very forgettable, and all you have is the characterizations. This is what solidified in my mind that Dave Filoni is perfect for animation, because all of this stuff, if you make it animated, the expectations are different. The dialogue doesn't have to make any sense. Well, it didn't make any sense in the series itself. There are so many problems at Lucasfilm, and Ahsoka season 1 is the perfect example of that. Having to wait for, 5 years for another season, 3 years for another season, that just says that they have no idea where they're going, or they're doing a big pivot, because I'm pretty sure they got this entire thing shot in the can and probably a ton of special effects already paid for on that at this point.
Well, I know it's been said ad nauseum, but I'd love to hear Drinker's thoughts on this. And Lauren, you weigh in as well. There's a way to fix this. There's a way, there's a character to save, and that's Luke Skywalker. The problem is there's such hubris about this. They're not willing to go there. They're not willing to discard what happened to him. But as long as that's the case, they've taken the franchise that's worth, you know, multi-billion dollars, and it's worth almost nothing. It's a loss leader.
Yeah.
So what do you do here? I mean, surely the hubris can be set aside at some point and they say, you know what? This is a lot of money for investors to lose over one singular sucky film.
Yeah, I mean, Luke is all you've got left from the OT cast, because clearly Harrison Ford's got no interest in coming back.
You can't bring Mark Hamill back either. I mean, he can't play Luke. He's vile.
I mean, well, yeah, but he can still act, I guess. And so you could either have him come back theoretically as like old Luke, you know, and just ignore the events of the sequel trilogy or something. Or you could do that weird digital de-aging thing, which I think people are increasingly turning against, because there's something really icky about it.
Can you just recast him, or can you use AI, get somebody to display him, and the AI makes it look just like Mark Hamill? Can you do that?
People are obviously going to know that you're doing that, and I think they're pretty wary about that now. So I don't know what you do, but if you were to use the old version of Mark Hamill, I mean, I'm sure he would happily come back, especially if it's like, yeah, we're gonna rewrite what happened to you. That would involve decanonizing or completely undoing the events of the sequel trilogy. And as you say, that would be the most insane pivot, the most insane course correction that I think we've ever seen in Hollywood. And I just don't think they have it in them to do that, to have that degree of humility and admit, yeah, that was all a terrible idea. We should never have done it.
Lorna, I'll give you the final word on it. Billions and billions of dollars at stake. I mean, we're not making this up. I mean, the toys, the movies, the shows, they can have it back, but they have to do a full-blown mea culpa, at least in terms of the strategy with the content they release.
I'd point them back to the man who shot Liberty Valance. The whole point of that movie at the end is the quote that it, when it comes down to choosing between printing the truth or the legend, print the legend.
I like that.
I do like that. That's not bad.
Oh, wait. Was that a reference to the expanded universe?
Might have been.
Huh.
Good night. Game over. Drive home safely. Folks, this video is done. But before we all head home, we only ask one thing. Folks, as you get ready to head on out, consider clicking that like button. Share, subscribe. Click it. Stick it to those pesky algorithms. It is the notification bell. Drop a comment down below and share your thoughts, for a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Waste not that beautiful personality of yours. And folks, we would say, as you get ready to head out the door, that it has been an honor to spend time with you, an attitude of gratitude each and every time that you elect to join together with us. Breaking bread and breaking entertainment. Well, the industry. No, we like entertainment. It's the industry that irks us sometimes. Well, it was a good time. We hope you had a good time. Folks, until the next time, keep learning, keep growing, and as always, keep having fun.